Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than coming up short. You definitely don't want to come up short.
That could mean all kinds of things.
It could. I like to be vague.
Yes, okay. So do I, but you usually don't like that.
No. But but today, I am. I don't know. I'm feeling contrarian to what I normally am. Not really, but I had to come up with something.
Okay.
All right, so the chat room. You want to talk in the chat room, the old den pen? Go to davinsden.com, or if you are listening on one... Oh, and click chat and listen live. You should definitely do that when you go there. Otherwise, you're just staring at the homepage going, what the F? So, yeah, go listen and chat live. If you are listening on one of our great internet affiliates, you can go to davincomedy.com, scroll down to the bottom, click on the Davin's Den page link on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go, and you're in our chat room. No phone lines tonight, because Pip Helix is here, but not really. She's at home.
Yes, I'm under the weather.
She is under the weather. She. You know what it is? There's really just bad riots in Warwick, New York. People are throwing apples, and she's a bit scared.
You know what? Fruit terrifies me.
Fruit does terrify you, which is why you which is why you never stay long in San Francisco. But that's neither here nor there. Oh, I made it uncomfortable.
I remember a day when you and I were at a comedy gig and somebody did throw apple.
I think I've told that story on the air.
I think you might have.
Yeah.
But I have PTSD when you talk about it.
Do you? As well you should. It was a filthy apple. Speaking of filthy apples, Joe will be here shortly. Joe should be here, about 6:45. He is efforting.
Yeah.
He's probably listening in the car. So whatever we talk about in the first few minutes, we will think we've finished, and then Joe will sit down and bring us back to this point again. So be prepared for that.
Hey, you know what? It is really tempting to get your 2 cents in, and, you know, when you're in the car listening to the radio and you want to talk back to them, but, I mean, Joe has a rare opportunity to be able to, in 10 minutes, do that.
And I call that my one big failing for this show. Yes.
Oh, well.
Joe can not only scream at the radio in the car, 5 minutes later he could tromp down the stairs and scream at the people saying it. It is a rare gift.
I think it works out well for him, though.
It does work out well for Joe. I don't know how I feel about it, but it certainly works out well for Joe. And that should be given credit to.
Yes.
Yeah. So, do a little bit of show news. Do that in a few minutes. Wait for Joe to get here. I just had my first ever production meeting with a major production company for the TV show. So I'll tell you all how that went. But Pip, so what? There was Wynwood Palooza 2? Is that what you were chatting about?
Yes. I didn't have to go out of town for this. This was my normal. He's in the tri-state area. I have to go see him as often as I can.
See, now I didn't. How did the radio stations not announce such a big tour?
You mean mine or his?
Yours. I know why they didn't announce his, but why not yours?
You know, I would prefer that they not. I like, the restraining order that the band has on me already.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go as incognito as possible.
Okay, I understand. But you are the protector of the sound man. So.
I am, and he's an extremely nice person, and I got to actually talk to him about that incident in Chicago where some douche was laying into him about the sound, and he said, that happens a lot. He actually said, oh, go to their jobs and start laying into them about how they're doing it. So I don't know how he doesn't, call off a clock with some of these people sometimes.
Well, because he knows he's Wynwood's lacking. He's happy to get the paycheck.
I guess that's it.
You know what? Because here's the thing. If he lashes into the fans, that's bad for business.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what? You take it.
Oh, no. Well, first of all, he's English. So they're prone to be much more polite about these sort of things than perhaps Americans and specifically New Yorkers.
Yes, because I think, weren't most pirates back in the day English?
No, I think that's probably a fiction from television. I don't think that they were all English.
I think they were. I think when somebody laid into them, they made them walk the plank. I think that's what happened.
Well, I think that those are probably the Englishmen that would haul off and deck one of these guys that comes up with his comments.
So you, so the, a real Englishman, a man's man.
Yes. Well, no. Which one are you saying? The pirate is a man's man, or the one with the stiff upper lip?
The pirate, of course. He's got a sword and he swashbuckles. You don't get more manly than a swashbuckler. Never.
Listen, how are we ever supposed to get on television if you're going to use terms like swashbuckling?
What do you mean? I could get on Logo.
Swashbuckling. Filthy.
How is that filthy?
I'm teasing you.
Is that like in the Urban Dictionary? Did I just like admit I like to like lick somebody's hiney or something? I don't know.
No, but now it will be because as soon as we're done with the show, I'm putting it in there.
All right, fine. He swashbuckled.
And the other guy loved it.
Yes, it was a swashbuckling affair. And the plank was long and hard.
I can't tell you what the parrot saw.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so yes, I did not witness any more of attacking the sound man, but I'll tell you a weird coincidence. Guess where? Well, I went to see them in Portchester, New York.
Uh-huh.
Great show. And then I went to see them last night in New Brunswick in the State Theater.
Oh, wait a minute. And so you're going out to see Wynwood, but you're not coming here for your radio show duties.
I know. I think that probably one of the crew, like sneezed on me.
Ugh. You got to stop licking the crew.
I know. I. You know what? It's some of those habits really die hard, and they do enjoy it so much. It's hard to stop. But,
I guess.
I think I've learned my lesson because I'm really good and feeling terrible today.
Okay.
And not from going out to see shows, because I do that fairly regularly, and it doesn't make me ill.
No, I mean, it does have a negative effect on the people who see you at these shows.
Yeah, yeah, and I'd like to publicly apologize to all of them.
They say that you're more unwelcome at a show than Ebola. That's what I read in the trades.
I don't know, because at least Ebola could sneak in.
Well, I said you're more unwelcome. I didn't. So Ebola does better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's possibly true. And Ebola usually gets medic, not security.
I see that.
When it comes in.
All right, so tell me what you want to tell me, girl. You're all a flutter about this.
Well, I am. Actually, I just wanted to mention that Lisa in the chat says that crew are germy, whether they swashbuckle or not.
Well, Lisa's been passed around with the best of them, so she would know.
She would know.
She would know. Actually, right? Lisa's been passed around so much they call her the old Petri dish.
Lisa.
That means
anyway,
she's...
That's my title, and bitch can't have it.
No, it's hers, and that means she's immune to these illnesses. You have a couple more lickings to do, so you will be immune.
That's true.
Yes.
All right, well, I guess I'll have to go see another show.
There you go. Or you should take the Petri dish with you.
However, it's newsworthy. Guess where their next stop on the tour was?
The Davin's Den Studios.
No, Baltimore.
Oh! Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know, when Wynwood comes to town, people lose their shit. I mean,
they started flipping cars over when they heard he was coming in.
It's very, that's why most of the time you don't know Wynwood's going to be in town. They try to keep it very quiet.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is that this time it got out of hand.
You know, that's Steve Wynwood. You know, I'll tell you what, those old broads, they really have good costumes as young black men. It is really quite the move.
Well, that's how I usually sneak into the theaters, because of the restraining order.
As a young black man.
So I guess it caught on.
It has. You, Pip Helix.
Amongst the middle-aged woman set, you know?
You, Pip Helix, are a trendsetter.
Yes, yes. But it was actually on the serious side. I had gone over to Mr. Soundman.
Right.
His name's James. And I asked him how he was doing, and uncharacteristically he went, eh. Like, not so good. And I thought, well, what's going on? And he said, well, we're supposed to go to Baltimore tomorrow. And I went, oh, my God. What are you going to do? Well, they never cancel shows. I mean, it's just, I guess Steve's just one of those the show must go on kind of guys.
Yeah, well, it's
a matter of fact, they got a lot of shit for it once because they were supposed to play Red Bank, New Jersey, and it was snowing so badly it was declared a state of emergency, and they still had the show.
Yeah, well, it's a state of emergency again, so I'm sure they will not be performing. If the Orioles are canceling a game, Steve Winwood is canceling a game.
Well, they were prepared to go on.
Well, I'm sure they are prepared to go on, but they're not having a show tonight.
The venue canceled.
What?
The venue canceled.
Yeah, because they're sane. You can't have a show. Unless you're the Baltimore Orioles or one of our comedy shows, you can't have an event with nobody there.
Well, you know what? That's the thing, is that the riot might have kept the audience down.
You think so?
You think the
black teens were going to stay home for the Steve Winwood in lieu of the de-escalating situation?
No, not as biggest demographic.
Well, speaking of de-escalating situations, Joe Curry just walked in.
Yeah, maybe I'm not catching up with current events. Why are you on the phone?
I'm not feeling good today, Joe.
Oh, you poor thing.
Because I can't get smoke signals in the studio. That's why. I didn't want to break your heart and let you know ahead of time that she wasn't going to be here.
According to Devin, I licked too many crew members.
Because she went to a Winwood concert last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What type of crap is that? You're well enough to go out and play with your friends. You're not well enough to come into work?
Really? Wow.
Well, I was well then.
Apparently not.
You're not like me and go to an Iron Maiden concert with a stomach flu?
Yeah, you blame the gefilte fish.
No, you know what? I have gone to concerts feeling pretty poorly, but I did not want to... Well, first of all, in the morning I didn't go to work. And I did not want to come up and breathe whatever scourge this is on both of you. So you should be thanking me or swashbuckling me, as we've just discovered.
You don't need your computer. She's got it. But it's good to have. Joe's prepared like a Boy Scout.
Look at that.
Later on, he'll be building a fire with a strangely creepy 36-year-old man. Like a Boy Scout.
Okay.
It's a long way to go. I stumbled through it. Could have been better. What are you going to do? All right, well, you know what, Pip? We're glad that you're here, and we're glad there.
Right.
But we're glad that Winwood is safely ensconced in their nice Ramada suite.
Well, they just chugged on down to the next date because they're like, okay, see you, Baltimore, because what are you going to do?
Hasn't that city suffered enough?
That's where they were heading?
Yes, to Baltimore. I mean, you know, it's one thing when you light half the neighborhood on fire and there's unrest between the police and the citizens that live there and the National Guard. And it's bad enough you got to cancel Baltimore Oriole games. But when Steve Winwood snubs you, you know what? I blame Obama.
Now, I'm sure the gig is off.
Thanks, Obama.
Yes, that's
okay, yeah.
So I should probably set up tonight's show. Tonight's show, we're going to play Who's Got the Biggest Flagpole? Haven't done that in a while. International version again. And we'll do some Scambaiter stuff, and we'll see about Ann Jackson. But shortly before the radio show, I had our first ever television production meeting. So this was, because remember, Oprah Winfrey's network wants to do a show with us. They're just, well, possibly wants to do a show with us. It's not for sure until I start counting money. But that's when it's for sure.
Love to start an argument, but yeah, pretty much.
When the check clears, it's for real. I don't need to have something filmed that nobody sees.
That's like I've always said, we'll discuss it during dinner. Yeah.
Ooh, we filmed the pilot. Let's put it on YouTube. Yes, that's nice, and you could use it as a credit for half a week for your comedy gigs, but that's not what I'm shooting for. I want some of that sweet, sweet cheddar.
You're literally not shooting for.
Yes. I want the type of money that will make me be in the middle of a riot and go, you know what? I don't have to steal Charmin. I have at home. That's the type of money I'm going for.
Who are you stealing it from?
I'm not stealing from anybody.
Okay.
I buy my own Charmin. 2-ply for this derriere.
Really?
Yeah, why wouldn't I use 2-ply?
No, that's good.
Wouldn't you?
I don't know. I buy whatever the ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife brings me.
You know the difference between 1-ply and 2-ply.
Yes, I know.
What are you using?
I'm probably using 2-ply for the simple fact my finger's not going up my asshole, so I guess everything's good.
So when she leaves and you need action, your fingers will be going up your asshole and using the 1-ply.
No, I'll buy only the finest.
It's good to know. That's breaking news. I can't believe this. I didn't have this on my show prep list.
I surprised you with my...
You poo-poo my Winwood talk, but this is what you guys degenerate when I shut up.
She wants to squeeze poo-poo in there. That's okay. What that was all about.
No, I did not. It just Oh, God.
Yeah, you always get ballsy when you're comfy at home. I do that.
If there's a point to your Wynwood story, then you can finish. If not, I'll go on with the regular stuff.
No, that was the point. The Baltimore connection.
Okay, so then I was right to move on with the show.
Yes.
Thank you. Ugh, Christ. So anyway, so this is a major production company. They have a bunch of shows on television and everything. And we've had pitch meetings before. I've just never been part of them.
Yes, nothing when they're just deciding your fate. Maybe you want to have a hand in it.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of did, but I didn't in the past. But you know what? I wasn't in the Oprah pitch meeting, and that went well. So whatever. So I was in this one. I was really nervous. I actually had like a little pit in my stomach and everything. God, there's a lot of pressure
you
on this.
You should have that. Like I said, with my
that's not encouraging.
No, and I'll tell you why. Because with the play, my play, we're going to be filming the monologue segment. I know a lot about I know a lot about a little. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to filming, and
at least that's what your Facebook would indicate.
We don't have time.
I was complimenting you. I was agreeing with you. I said you know a lot about a little.
Might be on the Joe Cumia show the way things are going.
No, I declined that.
No,
his producer asked yesterday.
I thought he was going to ask today. Let's not get into that. Yeah. Get away from. But nonetheless, with the play that my partner Cammy and I have been working on, we're going to be filming a monologue segment to send out. And when it comes to that, I don't know the slightest thing about it. I'm trying to learn everything I can, because when you meet with a producer, the scariest thing when they go is, what do you want to do?
Well, when you talk about producer, are you talking about somebody's footing the bill for this?
Well, not only footing the bill, but somebody that wants to get your vision, and you got to explain it. You got to kind of...
So that's where you are with the play?
Yeah.
So you got somebody to fit the bill?
No, we don't have somebody to foot the bill, but we're trying to get a small film.
Sound like me on the pitch meeting.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. A small film crew to do it. And what scares me is when we get the setup, I got the actors and stuff like that. Joe, so what are we doing? That scares me, because a lot of times the band and Joe, write me this, write a stinger, Joe, write an intro to this. Joe, not a problem. I know exactly what to do. I'm coming to a point in this part of the business where I don't know.
Well, this is a little bit different, because this is the type of thing where they film the pilot, they pick up all the expenses and everything,
right,
and then they start trying to sell it to television stations or whatever it is, and that's where they recoup their money. And it helps that we already have a network that's interested in us before we already film something.
Right.
So this is kind of a big deal. And like I said, I told you guys last week who the company was and everything. They got a bunch of stuff that people have heard on the air.
They're not a Johnny Bananas outfit.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, I saw that, and I'm like, well, I don't know how we fit into that. When I saw the list of shows that they've had success with, and the network, some of the networks I could envision us on, but the success they've had with shows, I'm like, well, I don't know how we fit in there with that, but I'm certainly going to pitch my rear end off.
Yeah.
So I gave my pitch. Like I said, so I was nervous. I stumbled a couple times, but I think I did it all right and everything.
It's your first time, dude. You know, I mean.
Well, I know, but I've really had no training for any of this stuff.
Well, no, this is. Let me tell you something. In this business, there's no agent class. There's no manager class. There's no production class. This is how you learn.
No, people are paying for these classes.
But what I'm for the most part, any agent that you know, any manager that you know, there wasn't a class. It was just it's learned by doing. The whole damn business is learned by doing, pretty much.
So I'm on the phone with Roger, our agent who's handling us, Roger's assistant, and the guy from this company.
So it was a conference call.
It was a conference all call. Right. They got offices all over the country.
So you're a good company.
I don't even know if you're sincere by that.
I'm sincere, because you do have people that know have experience,
right,
along with you to pick up the slack.
Well, I pretty much did all the talking.
All right, that's good.
I pretty much do. Thank you. I never thought I'd hear you say that.
No, because if you're doing most of the talking, you have a solid vision. You don't need your agent to back you up,
right,
in any other thing. So it just shows the production company that you've got your act together, and you're really trying to be proficient going on here.
It's funny you mention that, because I went through the things that I want to do on our show, and I told him I want to be a daily show every week, an hour long, and I told him all the things that I want to do, and all the thing, and it's really stuff that we've already done for the most part on our radio show. Nice. It's a little different for television, but we have a lot of experience in it. And he's like, I got to tell you, it's very rare that somebody comes to me to pitch a show – and they've actually done what they want to do. Like the, like,
ooh,
the,
that sounds good.
Yeah, like the fact that like I want to do this part. We've done this over here. We did this over there. I want to do this. You know, now I want to do this and take that to the next level. But we've done that before. No. He was very impressed with that.
Well, that's good because you gotta remember something. I mean, in the me, you, and Pip in the running order that we've had everything. What, two and a half years, three years?
We started doing scammer stuff April/May 2012.
Okay, 2012. And the show, one of the three of us decided it's going to be the three
Well, you
of
and
us.
I started summer of 2011 together.
All right.
And then Pip came probably in the fall/winter.
All right, so we've had all this time to do this and expand it. So, you know, as the show, as a radio show, that's great. So when you go to the TV thing, yeah, we've said, let's try this, right? This didn't work. Let's do this. That didn't work. This is working great. All right, this is our niche. Let's do that. We've been there with...
If only those conversations went so well at the time.
Hey, sometimes that's the way
so,
it is.
So he was really... impressed with this. He's like, you know what, this is cutting edge. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, we got a show kind of in this vein, but it's not so much in this vein because you actually want to educate and help people mm-hmm. and everything. He's like, this is cutting edge. He goes, I just don't think we're the right fit for you. He goes, you really need to pitch to certain production companies that deal with news type stuff, which is kind of like ironic when I think back to the end of 2013 and the whole Juliana Avalos /match.com thing was all over the papers and everything, and we couldn't get anybody to talk to us, whether it be me or Donnie or our PR person. We couldn't get anybody to talk to us because we were comedians. And now it's the other pendulum, like a production company that does a lot of comedy based shows. Like, man, we love it. You're just too newsy for us.
But see, and that's the whole.
Is pathetic. Well,
it's not pathetic. I get what he's saying, but it really does show how much the show has shifted in a sense, or how our credibility's changed.
It's more of our credibility because the show's game plan has always been that way. The frustrating thing at the time was there's so many shows out there with comics doing bits and this, that, and the other thing, and you know, huddle, huddle, and all this other stuff.
We used to do bits.
We used to do bits, but what I'm saying is, all of it is usually green room talk and this, that, and about comedy. Which is cool as a comic.
Hey, we do it. Something we did last week. It's not just the show though. Yeah,
occasionally. Yeah. But the most part is we do a lot of meat and potato stuff. You do a hell of a lot of research. You're leading us. You know, you're helping scammers. And
I'm not helping scammers.
I mean,
shut up, you. And Joe pisses away the credibility with one soundbite.
See, I'm glad I'm not in the. You see, that's why I'm not in the meetings. But
can't you go to a Wynwood concert and get sick, stupid?
we're helping people that have been scammed, and you're an expert in the field. We're getting credibility in that way instead of being comics that do a show.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. He's like, listen, here's the deal. He's like, I think you got something great. I think this is something groundbreaking. There's nothing like this. It's cutting edge. He's like, I just don't want to waste your time. He's like,
wow.
I just.
But
it's encouraging. So, you know, I got to be honest. I'm a little upset by it. But like I said, when I saw their shows, I was very excited that this is a legit production company with a slew of shows that are successful and on television. But I also did see the shows. I'm like, well, how do we fit in that? And I didn't know if we would. He did say, if you guys ever want to do something more comedy geared, you know, give me a call.
But you got to thank him for his honesty on that.
I did. No, Joe, I said, F you. I said, how dare you, sir? I have a show in a basement in an hour. How dare you not appreciate my genius and snap me up? No, I said, thanks. I appreciate the honesty.
I would love to see that. It would be so counterproductive, but that would really be hysterical to watch.
No. But no.
I said, good day.
I don't mean it like that, you knotheads. What I meant was you can never get a straight or honest answer
right,
in this
right.
business.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And he
right.
was very nice to be upfront.
No is the second best response you can get.
Right. And with our agent and his assistant there, it's kind of good for them to know that the reason that, you know, he might pass is not because the project's not good, because it's not the correct fit for his production company. It gives more impetus to him to go out and shop the show because he knows that the right person will be excited about this and it will look like it'll be a go.
Well, the thing that scared me is that he said it was cutting edge. because I know television doesn't like cutting edge. But it also heartens me that, you know, it's kind of like everything I've ever done. It's just kind of like original, do the own thing. So I'm happy to see that. But I didn't know, because I'd never pitched before, and I was kind of bummed about it and everything that we did. Because I always said, if I get that meeting, I'll close the deal. But I know it wasn't, I didn't really think it was about the product, you know, not being good. It was just the right fit.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to go pitch the play, I went to a thing called a pitch fest where you meet a bunch of whole agents and stuff like that.
Thought it was a gay thing.
No. But you do you pitch, and I went to about 6 pitch meetings,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you do the best job you can, and hopefully get interest, you know, in your project. It's like a sale. When you pitch a sale, you want to go out and out of usually the ratio out of 7, you want to get 2. I mean, without going into detail, I actually got one that was very interested, but you know, it didn't turn out that way. But you know, you set out, you're concise, make your pitch, answer questions, do your follow up. It's like an interview. It's essentially like a job interview, but for your project.
It is. So, you know, I got off the phone. I don't feel great now, but, you know, I didn't know how I did. So Roger called me up a few minutes mm-hmm. later. He had one more show to pitch. I was the first one. And then I think Roger was pitching one more show to them. He goes, you know what? He goes, you did a great job. It was a great pitch. Now it's his job to build me up, so who knows? It was a great pitch. He goes, this actually helped me because I know exactly who I have to call tomorrow. Because the guy actually gave us suggestions on who to call. He actually, like, named. He goes, you know, production company X, you know, this will be right up their alley because they're looking for something in this vein, but they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to walk the line between conspiracy and real and everything. I'm being purposefully vague and not telling you what my pitch is on the show. Joe and Pip know what the pitch is, of course. They've seen what I've laid out. But I'm not laying it out to the audience because it might change somewhat. And plus, you don't know who's listening. Even though I got this registered with the Writers Guild and everything, mm-hmm. when it hits the air, I want it to be new to everybody. So I know it's a little vague and people ask, well, what's it like? It has elements of the radio show, and if it's my vision, it's going to be educational and funny/entertaining. That's my vision because nobody's done anything like that. So right. You know, I'm heartened. I'm a little bummed because you know I want to get this done, but I've just been
you got to be more patient.
I've sacrificed my comedy career.
I understand that, and everybody's thankful for that. But
knew that was coming. Oh, like clockwork.
But you've got to be patient. I mean, I've seen projects. I've been part of projects. It takes time. You know, there's a lot of ups
yes. You've
and downs.
Seen projects, but and I don't mean this to be in a shitty way. So don't take it like that. You've seen projects. You've been part of projects, but it's never caught on for you. I don't want to. You know, there's a chance this doesn't catch on.
Yeah,
and then I really wasted a lot of time.
But I'm saying you push. But this—it's the business. It's the way the business runs. You push harder. You push, but it does get frustrating. I mean, it frustrates for everybody. How many times have we talked to people that have their projects, and you talk about it, and it's a lot of good friends got projects, TV projects, and they're going. They're sending in the spec scripts. They're doing this. They got to do revisions. They're sending out the pilot. Doing that. It's the way it works. I mean, it's just the nature of the animal. Of course, you're a human being. You're going to get frustrated about it.
Isolate
that's
that.
That's the way. Well,
yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, but that's the way it is, you know?
No, I mean, and the interesting thing is I think, I guess because I presented myself in such a prepared way
mm-hmm.
and knew I was talking, like that he did say, you know, if you guys do, you know, he was specific. I'm not going to say what, but, you know, something in the comedy vein,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'd be interested.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we could get together and write something, you know, a show pitch for that. There's no reason why we can't have a couple of shows on at the same time.
No.
But
no.
This is the feeling, and this is going to – it's overly optimistic. But I really feel that there's a very good chance we're going to have something on television and something on something beyond internet radio. I don't want to besmirch where we are. We're happy to be here on internet radio, all stations that carry us. But I really think that we're going to be on television and terrestrial/Sirius at the same time. I think it's going to be one of those, oh, wow, these guys came out of nowhere type deals. Mm-hmm. I really do feel that way. I just, like I said, I just thought it was kind of ironic. It's like, wow, we spent like the better part of a year trying to get credibility as like Sirius, quote unquote, journalists. And everything, and investigative reporters. It's not.
But that's what it took to. But that's what it took.
But
to
it's
do.
Like now. It's like, well, we got to do more. You guys are almost too serious.
Oh no.
But you know what? You guys saw the shows that they have. We didn't really fit in that vein. Would you agree?
I think we would have fit in great in that vein.
See, I don't think so. I think because we, first of all, those shows are weekly, and they're not educational at all, and they're not talk shows. You know, they're purely for entertainment. You know, popcorn type shows. You know, you sit there, it's kind of mindless. You have a good time, you enjoy it. You know, whatever. We're trying to do something a little bit differently. I mean, the radio show certainly has popcorn segments, but the television show that we're pitching, there's not really a lot of popcorn in it, you know?
No.
Right.
No.
So, that's that.
I get you.
That's that.
But it's a positive I mean, it's a very positive outlook on it.
I just get frustrated because I'm constantly chasing Roger. Did we call this one? Did that one? Where are we with this one? And I know, you know, I mean, there's a part of it where Roger is notoriously hard to get a hold of. That's part of it. But I also know Roger is working. And, you know, these people are hard to get a hold of and everything. So it's just frustrating.
It's the way the business is. Why do you think people, you know, I mean, why do people dream of being in show business, but not many people go for it? Because it's a frustrating business. It's not an easy business. That's why only a handful of people do it.
No, but I think I feel good. I mean, why? He doesn't have to lie to me and say all these positive things. I mean, you just say not interested.
He
wouldn't
do it, and he wouldn't refer to you. And like I said, I got friends in the business, and they talk about projects that they're doing, specials that they're trying to get it sold, and they did this and that, and then they were supposed to get a call. They didn't get a call. Now they're trying to sell it again. Do I go out for a pilot seat? You know, I mean, it's the business, dude.
He did ask me, you know, what happened, what's with the Oprah thing, and I deferred. I go, Roger, because, you know, Roger was in on that meeting.
That's handy dandy to have him there, because he can hear.
Yeah, and, you know, Roger explained it, I think it does help us that there already is a network that has expressed an interest in us and everything.
Yeah.
Got to tell you, though, this pilot, I mean, depending on what aspect we show, it's gonna be a bear to get. I'm looking forward to having to sit there and write how exactly that's going to go down. Mm.
Yeah, because you do want, just what Joe was saying is that now being in a position that you have to, like, map it out and tell people what you envision and exactly what you want in a new medium, that's going to be challenging.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll figure it out. I'll do it. I'm sure they'll have people there to help me. You know, listen, we're a long way from Susie and Frank telling us what not to do on WTBQ. Hmm. Yes, whatever you're doing, don't do it. Okay, Susie, I'm not going to listen to you.
Yeah, okay, that helps a lot. Thanks for the great input.
Yeah, so that's what it is. There's going to be more meetings coming up. I'm very confident there's other people on the list. I think Roger's going to really focus on this. Because, listen, you know, he wants to get paid, too. So, you know, no, none of us have made money on this yet. So, that's that. Baltimore, real briefly, Joe asked me if we were going to discuss it, and my feeling on the whole Baltimore thing is it's not much different than Ferguson and Staten Island.
Yeah, I kind of misconstrued. Basically, what I did this morning was I said, you're the mayor of Baltimore, what would you do? And, you know, people had a whole bunch of answers, and then Davin made a comment for a laugh to turn into our show. And I briefly thought he might wanted to discuss it, so that's where I misconstrued that.
No, I mean, for me, it's the same type of thing. You know, something went wrong with the police and a person. Some people are going to argue that the guy who died is a criminal and had it coming. Other people are going to argue that the police need to do better. Some people are just going to look at it through the prism of color. And I just like, you know, I'm not having that conversation again. We've done it. And that's why, you know, we were invited to go on the Joe Cumia show last night by Joe's producer. And I just said, and then Joe Cumia again, or Joe actually mentioned it. Joe Curry actually mentioned it to Joe Cumia again. And I just said, you know what? We've been down that road. We all did it well. I have no interest in going down that road again to do something we've already done. If there's another topic, you know, I'd love to have the Joes from the Joe Cumia show on our show. I mean, I liked talking to them and debating them. It was a good time. I just don't feel the need to go into this whole black, white, cops, racist, not racist. I just don't feel the need to go down there again, because nobody's opinions are going to change.
I think just the bottom line in the whole thing is that the people that they choose to show as being wronged by the police, I think, because you made a point where you said, well, there's so many innocent people that were, you know, have been, you know, beaten by the police and abused by the police. So why don't they use those people?
Well, I told you, it doesn't get reported in the news. I mean,
and that's the news's problem. Also, the way you know, people are, you know, protesting, You know, you mentioned the riots.
Well, there's a difference between a protest and a riot.
All right, but the way people are going about it is all wrong.
Well, no, the protesters are fine. For a week, they were protesting fine.
Yeah.
And then it just went all south yesterday when these high school kids said we're going to have a purge, yeah, and they looted the mall, and then it just went downhill.
It just derails your cause.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. But that being said, whatever the crime is, I don't think anybody should be hauled away in a police car and leave with their spine 80% broken at the end of that ride.
You know what,
something happened.
You know what Keith the Cop on Ant Show was saying is that he, and allegedly, he was a person of interest, and he was the guy was riding an ATV, had an accident on an ATV the night before.
So this guy.
So he might have injured his spine there.
Well, Keith has a scoop nobody else has reported.
Well, it was actually on Facebook. It's on his Facebook page.
Well, then it's for real.
But he's not. Yeah. So he said. Well, he had. You know. I mean, an autopsy, whatever.
I mean, that's
that.
Really.
Well,
out
it could have exacerbated.
Dude, I mean, the guy standing on the corner. We don't know what happened between him and the cops at the corner. We know he can't walk. They put him in the van. He's paralyzed on the way. It falls into a coma later on that night. Something happened that's not supposed to happen. Whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, I know people are saying he's a drug dealer, this, that, the other. Whatever the case may be, the police are not judge, jury, and executioner. If the guy's a bad guy and was do something, certainly belongs in court and let the judge or the jury decide, whatever. But you can't be kicking the shit out of people like this. And I go, it's one thing if a cop is fearing for his life and, you know, and he feels like he has to defend himself and that happens. Nobody's saying that was the case there. So, I mean, listen, we need to investigate it. People need to behave. I know people like to say they need to behave, but unfortunately, some of those people like to say black people need to behave. No, everybody needs to behave. Stop acting like assholes. It's really that simple.
I wouldn't even say, it's not even like black people. I would say.
Well, not you.
But an element in that community that has no self-control.
Well, I think there's an element in every community.
Need to think on how they're presenting.
Listen.
What's going on?
Listen, if you're burning a CVS and you're stealing diapers and Snapple, clearly thinking is not one of your strongest suits.
Right.
I mean, but every society has that, as I pointed out. It's not just black people. They get the spotlight right now. And then it makes it easy for the racists among us to go, look at those people over there. And then I even pointed this out last night because I was actually watching Fox News last night. I like the coverage. They had Shep Smith, who I'm a big fan of. They bumped O'Reilly for him, thank goodness. And then they had Megyn Kelly, who, you know, she has her moments. Sometimes I like her, sometimes whatever. And Judge Napolitano, same way. And I thought the coverage was good by the three of them. Mm-hmm. And then they bring on Sean Hannity. And, of course, it's the usual clowns. And then I was watching it. Shortly before 11, it turned to, let's blame Obama. And again, like you say, losing focus. Losing focus on the issue, like you say, how the black people or the rioters in this case, or by their actions, are taking us away from the real issue here. Mm-hmm. Playing partisan politics in a situation like that.
That's Hannity's job.
Right.
I mean, if the Easter Bunny comes on, we're going to get eggs. You
right,
know what I mean?
but it just shows what a political hack he is. I mean, Megyn Kelly usually does partisan stuff too,
yeah,
but she shifted into journalist mode. So, you know, she was actually watchable. See Sean, you know, I put on Facebook, I go, it's not a riot unless Giuliani comes on and blows himself and says how much better he would have handled it.
I don't understand. Did they ever come to a conclusion why the cops didn't do more?
Well, they've been talking about that. You're talking about last night.
Yes, yes.
Last night, it clearly looked like the cops were told to stand down.
Right.
And that clearly was a problem.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's come out officially, but they were watching crimes being committed, mm-hmm, and they weren't acting, which is a real problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, CNN did a good job of this. I didn't see it on MSNBC or Fox. Doesn't mean they didn't report it. But CNN was actually showing some African Americans in the community that were standing between the police and the protesters and telling the protesters to cut it, not the protesters, excuse me, the rioters, there's a difference, mm-hmm, between the rioters and telling them. There was a Vietnam vet, African-American Robert Valentine.
I saw that guy.
Well,
now
that guy's a hero.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see more stories
about. The thing is, it's like they're destroying the thing is, it's like they're destroying stores that people, African American people that busted their wrist to open the stores. That you just
and they work there.
I think the guy that was the, I don't know if it was him, but my car, I work hard for my car. They destroyed my car.
Assholes. And that's what it is. That's why, like, oh, it's just black people. No, because you know what? When you win a championship or you lose a championship, you see white people go ape shit for this. Go to a soccer match. You'll see a bunch of hooligans. People are assholes. There's an element of humanity that feels that they can do whatever they want because they don't respect other human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing from those rioters. I mean, that's what it is. But I just get upset when people go, oh, well, it's black people. I'm like, no, that's not fair. Because there's people in every demographic that are assholes.
Well, it's just...
No, but excuse me, guys, but somebody in the chat who is coming in as Anonymous just
Hello, Anonymous.
Put in a link to a Baltimore ABC story where an African-American mom is beating the tar out of her son.
Yeah, I saw that.
Taking place in the riots.
No, I saw that. And, you know, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Her son was obviously rioting, and
right.
This African-American mother in yellow just starts whooping the shit out of him. And
yeah, that's the one.
She got a lot of accolades for this, and I get that. But then somebody else, a mutual friend of ours, Joe, I believe he's a Long Island comic. I think I got this right. I'm not going to say his name because I don't know if he wants it mentioned. But he's like, well, you know what? We're all bending over backwards for her. But wait, how about you raising your son properly before this so he's not out there with these rioters and everything and being a fool? Where were you then? Now, it's good that she's stopping him at this point. But you do wonder what the hell was going on in the house before. Not that we have that information, but it's a good point.
Right, and you could also
But wait a minute. Now, you can't go blaming every parent for the crazy crap that their kids get.
I just said,
influences outside of the home.
Well, you know what, though? I just said we don't know what happened in that home. She might be an exemplary mother and have a bad kid. Or she might have been a lackadaisical mother, and now she's, like, acting because for whatever reason. People are calling her Mother of the Year. You know who the Mothers of the Year are? The ones who had their kids at home not rioting at all. Those are the Mothers and Daddies of the Year whose kids had the common sense after school to go home and study or play video games or whatever the hell they were doing and stay off the streets. Those are the Parents of the Year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mother of the Year is the woman who's slapping her kid upside the head in public because he's looting is not Mother of the Year.
Exactly, and that's what some people were calling her. So I was just merely pointing out. I'll take the parent whose kids are staying home.
And I just find it interesting. And I think I commented this a couple of weeks ago on how the news loves this stuff and how they focus on it.
Of course they do.
Let's take a look at police brutality.
I didn't think we were talking about this.
I know, police brutality against the African American community. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a gentleman in the city that was shot in a stairwell by accident by a cop that, you know, mistakenly shot this guy. And the whole thing about it is, if you protest, we got to do something about the police that are doing. Yeah, well, the police have to be accountable. Yeah, well, things have got to change. Yeah, this was wrong. Yeah. It's something everybody could get behind.
Well,
I
think people who go back and forth on the right spectrum like yourself could get behind that.
I could.
I know. No, I know. I'm saying I think you could. I think there are elements among your friends and people who comment on Facebook that would not get behind and go, he must be doing something wrong for the cop to do that. I think there's that element of people that are so steadfast to the right.
Well, that's a problem. You see, that's a problem.
And those are the people who I was addressing on your Facebook page.
I understand that. And that's like why I was, you know, and I understood that. You know, I just made my comment and I generalized everything.
Right.
But, you know, in that respect, yeah, you can't. And that's what drives me nuts. OK, you have to look. And sometimes you call me on this. You lump me in that once in a blue moon. But my whole thing is I look at each situation by the case, what the facts are, what happened. And my whole thing is, if you feel that there's an indignity in your community about this, this would have been the perfect
thing to stand behind. The media doesn't want to cover it. I mean, but, you know, we saw the right way it's handled. We saw in South Carolina that white cop shoot that black man who was running away.
That guy was in there. The cop was in the right. No, I'm kidding. you can't look at that.
And Joe's face.
I just wanted to see you
it's
turn
It's nice to see Joe's face with persona live.
I just wanted to see you turn white. You can't.
Oh, my God. Are you trying to make me puke here?
but there are people that would. Joe is being facetious here. Joe is making a joke. But there are people who would take what Joe said seriously and believe that.
But here's the deal.
I know.
But here's the deal. On a conservative webpage, they had they posted on Facebook, see what went on before this shooting. And I didn't get into it. I didn't have the time to look at it. What could have went on that wouldn't have been publicly stated? I mean, you had the video. You know what I'm saying?
Here's my issue. It comes with a friend of the show and a very good friend of yours. A couple of months ago, there was a story, because he's very much immersed in the whole black crime thing. Mm-hmm. There was a story, and it made all the headlines. It was on the news. You saw it. Where a white man started beating a cop for no reason with a shovel mm-hmm. on his porch. You remember this story?
Yeah.
That would have been a perfect time for your pal to address that, too. And he didn't address that. So for me, when I'm waiting to say, all right, can he be objective? Because he talked about people behaving and not treating the cops like shit. You know, for him to be objective, I thought he should have mentioned that. I checked the rundown of his show the next couple of days. He did not mention it.
I believe he did.
It's possible.
And I believe he did. I think I was there, and I think we were laughing our asses off at the guy. And I believe that Anthony, he even stated, he said, it's not always the African-American community.
I'll take your word for it. Like I said, I checked the rundown.
He's might have been not on the rundown, but he's very objective about that.
Well, I hope he did. Because, you know, Anthony got in trouble for using the word animal, and I think it's an insult to animals when people act this way. But that white guy...
it was the context of the behavior.
Right. You know. That white guy was being, quote, an animal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, but that's Baltimore's not really the major news story. I mean, I know it's getting the headlines news, but Bruce Jenner. Did anybody watch this?
No, I didn't. But I heard about it.
I did not watch it live because mm-hmm. I was working and I didn't give a shit.
Right. same here. I guess we both work. I don't feel bad. I'm like, oh,
I did go back and watch it because so many people cared. And here's where I got in a fight with people, because somebody said. He's one of the most courageous people in the world. So I said, you know what? The military, the police, the firemen, the mother who protects her kids from an abusive husband who takes – those are courageous people.
Well, yes and no.
They're not courageous?
Well, they're courageous. I'm sorry. They are courageous, but in the context of the conversation – I would say Bruce Jenner would be a courageous person.
But not the most one of the most courageous people in the world.
Well, in the world of there is a whole contingent now of the lesbian, gay, and transgendered people.
Okay? And you're going to speak on their behalf.
Well, I'm going to speak on the behalf of somebody, be a devil's advocate of that.
And plot twist. Nobody saw this coming.
Well, because
I know.
Well, because if you're somebody that... You know, you wanted to have a change. I mean, there's a comic that had a sex change, and you know, very
she's
nice,
doing very well.
Yeah, very nice person. And to do that, and to you know, want to make the choice to do that, and to make people known that this is a choice, and you know, due to hormonal things or the way my body chemistry is, I was meant to be a woman, and I want to go out. There never was a figurehead person. That would be the figurehead.
There's been athletes and models. And
well, Renee Richard back in the probably around the late 70s, early 80s was something like that.
Don't get me wrong, it's cool, but I'm fine with it. I just don't see why everybody cares. And people are like, oh well, they shouldn't make fun of him and everything. The guy's a public figure. The guy sold his soul when he did the Kardashian show. He went from beloved Olympic gold medalist to pretty much the guy that Kris Jenner emasculated every season.
Yeah.
I mean, so he put himself out. He put himself out there. So, and he even said in the interview, you got to have a sense of humor about this. He's like, look who it is. It's Bruce Jenner. Yeah,
but you got to remember, you got to compartmentalize in a way that he is a hero to the lesbian, gay, and transgender community.
Some people don't want the circus that's around him. Because you got to remember, there's some people, and you know, it's quite the stretch, but some people think he's just doing this for publicity. I think it's a little much. But I think he had to do the interview. I think he had to do the interview because so much was out there. He doesn't have to do a reality show about it. I mean, this is a man that loves to be in the spotlight.
That's... Yeah,
I have to go with Davin on that because... You know, we tend to think in terms of communities being homogenous in their opinions about things, but the LGBT community is not all on the same page about every issue that has to do with gender or sex issues or any issues for that matter. I mean, they're just like everybody else. They have their own differing opinions. They're not like a block vote on every opinion. But having said that, I think it was incredibly courageous for him to come out as someone who was known as a major athlete and known for what we stereotypically describe as very masculine traits and ideals.
But conversely...
For him to come out, knowing that he's going to be subjected to so much very personal scrutiny, was pretty brave.
Yeah, but hold on.
A firefighter jumping into a building and saving kids, but, you know, it's up there.
On the one hand, maybe this aspect of it is brave, and I get that. On the other hand, isn't it a little cowardly to know you have this inner struggle, marry three different women, have kids with all these different women? Because when you bring other people into your inner struggle, it becomes their problem, too.
Yeah.
He might have been in denial, like a lot of
he
people
wasn't.
Might have been in denial.
He wasn't. He knew. He knew. This wasn't something that just came. He was taking hormones in the 80s. He knew about this.
But maybe he felt that, you know, in society that he should be married to a woman. Or maybe, he did like women. He doesn't like women.
And that's another thing, which I don't completely understand, but he was very point in talking about sexual preference is different than gender identity.
Right.
Yeah. You know, if you ask him, he still likes women.
Right, right.
He won't admit to being a lesbian. I mean, I don't know what you would call, you know, whatever Bruce becomes.
I got a quick question for the both of you in regards to his reality show. The reality show he's going to do about this?
Yeah, on E! Network, which is known for their documentaries.
Right. But in this show, would you folks change your opinion if it felt that it lended to more understanding and acceptance?
I don't have a bad opinion of Bruce.
But not Bruce, but lesbian and transgender people
in
general.
I think it could do good things. I think it could do things.
And would you change your opinion on the show if that did lend itself
to that? I don't have
a
negative opinion about the show. I don't. But I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, but you said that you felt that he was selling out.
I think he's a whore.
But if it lended to more acceptance and understanding, would you change your opinion on
that? I still think he was a whore. He did 8 seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
But that wasn't the question. Would you feel, you know.
You know, I'd have to see what this show is.
All right, Pip, your feeling?
Well, I was just wondering if we get our show sold and as part of an unexpected plot line, Joe comes out with his transgender feelings, and our ratings go through the roof. How would you feel about it then, Devin?
I'm waiting for Joe to contribute in that way.
Let me tell you, if you get me out of the plumbing business, I'll have my rot gut outfit on, dude. Sweet.
You better look better than that, stupid. That you are not a fine looking woman. Grow some hair.
Anthony always says I have a flat ass on stage.
Why is he looking?
I don't know, but it hurts my feelings. But I have a
nice
ass.
He is somewhat of a media whore, but. Yeah.
But what about this? Now here's where I really got
Joe. Still, no. I mean, I think that if he could somehow make it more understandable to middle America and I mean, just the same way that, oh my God, in my lifetime, the difference between, two different races dating or being gay or lesbian is tremendous. And so if he could bring a little bit more awareness for people who are struggling with that, for the people around them to understand a little bit better and maybe not be so harsh on them, that would be helpful.
Well, I mean, that's what he said. That's what he's saying. That's what he wants to do.
And that's hopefully the goal. And if I, you know,
well, good for him.
All right, but like
I don't think he's a bad person. I just don't think.
I just
don't think he's a hero. I don't think he's one of the best people in the world.
But you're looking at the world. You're not looking.
That's what they put. That's what got me into this thing. They're one of the most courageous people in the world.
Okay,
that's when I'm like, really?
All right. So in the whole wide world, there are more courageous people. But in the community, in that world, in the lesbian, gay, transgender, in that world. I know they said the whole world, but bringing it into context is a hero.
But keep in mind this. He is better equipped to handle all that is going to come at him, both good and bad,
yeah,
and medical and non-medical.
Now, let me ask,
because of all the money he has made by being a whore.
I understand, but let's say our show goes. Hopefully,
we're comparing
goes.
Us to a transgender
yes,
Bruce
I'll tell
Jenner.
You why? Okay, because you've been helping a lot of people with dealing with scammers and helping people and educating them. What if somebody turns around and goes, "Davin is a real hero," and people go, "No, he's not." You are in the community of helping people.
Not in the world. Not in the whole wide world.
For God's sake, so you got it.
And she was like, "Oh, this is one of the most courageous things I've ever seen." No, it's not. No, I'll take that guy Robert Valentine that we were talking about from CNN last night, the African-American Vietnam veteran who's standing in between rioters and the police and telling those kids to go back home and said, not in our town. That guy's more courageous.
I understand, but if they describe the world, like in his dealing with the community there, in the world of anti-scamming, in the world of lesbian, gay, and transgender, heroes and people that are making learning to have people
perspective
make
sure perspective. But now here's something like you shouldn't the comedy police again you shouldn't make fun of this. And my argument, we talked about this last week with Ari Shafir. Bruce is a public figure. Bruce making fun of Bruce Jenner in my mind is perfectly acceptable. That being said, I don't think people should be hateful. You know, because I think what I said, if you're being hateful towards somebody, you're revealing much more about your own character than your intended target. But I think making goofs on Bruce Jenner, I think that's allowed.
I also got in a big argument with somebody on Facebook about the Hillary Clinton.
I saw that.
Bucket.
I was like, do I want to weigh in on this? I'm like, no, I got enough problems. Well, let's do Bruce, and then we'll do Hillary, and then we'll take a break.
Please, yeah, because I have some things to say. Obviously, well, that's good, Joe. You're on a radio show. Stupid.
You're getting much better at addressing yourself.
Joe
might be ready for television by the time we get there.
That's the goal.
If Joe could just make that outer dialogue inner and address it before he does the wrong thing, we're going to be good to go. But I think I think it's ridiculous for Bruce Jenner not to be targeted. And I said this before. I go, Bruce has made himself a public. He's been a public figure since he was an Olympic athlete to doing all the commercials for the gym equipment to the Keeping Up with the Kardashians to this document. He's a public figure. He should expect it. Now, somebody who doesn't deserve it was Curt Schilling, who was a former Major League Baseball player. His daughter. He put something like he was very proud of his daughter for like getting to college or making the softball team or getting a scholarship. And people started attacking. This was on Twitter, started attacking Curt Schilling's daughter in completely horrible ways. And Schilling, and one of them actually worked for the Yankees. Well, it was like a ticket salesman.
And what was the thing with Curt Schilling's daughter?
They were attacking Curt Schilling's daughter via Twitter.
And what was the, I'm sorry.
Just I like saying horrible things about
and
her.
And what was brought up about her?
I think it was sexual stuff. I don't recall.
Sexual stuff. I'm trying to get
they wanted to do horrible things to her or call her a terrible name.
But why was she? I'm not being a
Curt Schilling brought her up on Twitter saying, I'm so proud of @Bloom, who's his daughter.
Okay.
And people started attacking his daughter.
Well, people are assholes, just like these rioters. You know?
Right. And that's what that's. And Bruce, Kurt actually got some of these people fired because you know he had the wherewithal to go after these people and everything and bring it to their bosses. But see, in my mind, Curt Schilling's daughter, not a public figure, does not deserve to be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anybody deserves to be attacked, but certainly should not be. Curt Schilling's daughter should not be the object of jokes, of humor. That's my point. Bruce Jenner, it's okay. Me, I said, I'm fair game. People want to make fun of me, attack me? They can. We've endured it.
Let me ask you a question. There was a meme that I put up. I just thought it was funny.
There's the segue.
Now, if you wanted to call me out on the carpet, let's say you did. It was the one with Bruce Jenner in a Wheaties box. And
that one.
And
the fruity pebble. Oh, it's funny.
But wouldn't you? Now, if you called me on the carpet about that, I might have you might have me against the wall on that.
Well, first of all, I don't like memes. So I'd call you a moron just for that.
I know, but all right. Besides, you call me a moron for a lot of things.
Well, you give so much material.
I understand that, but you know, if
I've seen that a bunch of times.
About, you know, if you look at it, so it's like Joe. You just sat here and saying that you're trying to defend him. You know,
it's a joke. He's a public figure. I'm cool with it, and that's why. Like even what I did not like about your Hillary Clinton meme, and you can tell us what the meme is, and I'll tell you what I did not like about it. So tell us the thing that you put on.
It's Hillary Clinton on a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket, and it says little wings, big thighs.
No, left wings. Box of left wings.
Yeah, it was no breasts. Well, I think it was small breasts.
Fat thighs,
and a whole lot of left wings.
Right. And somebody, I guess a Facebook friend of yours, said that they did not like the fact that the meme was targeting her appearance, because his daughter had been bullied and shamed and everything. That's what that person was saying.
Exactly.
And then a lot of your friends kind of sunk their fangs into this.
Yeah, and I didn't like the way they did it because they didn't do it in an eloquent way.
Here's what I would say about that. The left wing thing, funny, fair game. You know, a lot of left wing, that's funny. I mean, again, I don't like memes. You know, but I've gone on record before. I don't like the whole thing attacking people's appearance. So, you know.
But it's she's a public
figure. I get that. I get that. But I never really thought it was really cool when people do the fat Chris Christie jokes.
But the thing about it is
it's
is
the
that,
same thing. It's the lowest common denominator.
But you, all right, very good. But you didn't have a problem with the Fruity Pebbles thing with Bruce Jenner. That's your attack.
Because it's not appearance.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not appearance.
He's turning into a woman.
No, I didn't take it like that.
But it's the way you take you know that's the way you take it.
Yeah, but there's no other way to take that meme that you about Hillary Clinton. But it says fat thighs or whatever the hell
it
says.
But it wasn't against her appearance. It was
you know with Hillary
the
Clinton
appearance
though,
that she shows
with Hillary Clinton, there's so much better stuff to go at her for. She's got such a track record that if you wanted to attack her, if you were of that mind in a public way, in a humorous way. You could, and in my mind, that would be fair game. I might not agree with it.
Yeah.
But it would be fair game. That's why I said, a bucket full of left wings. That's funny. That's cool. I get it. She's really not that far left, but I get from that perspective, I get it. You know, I don't like the whole Chris Christie is fat thing. I didn't like the whole John McCain is ancient thing.
But you put yourself out there as a public figure. I would, like I said, we're not, but I will debate you. For hours over the bucket the Hillary Clinton, but if you brought up the whole
Fruity
Pebbles thing with Bruce Jenner,
here's the thing.
I think you've got
it's,
me.
I would say it's fair game because they are public figures,
right?
But I would also say comedically, it's the lowest common denominator. So call me as
a. Thank you for saying that because that's what I'm sitting here thinking.
Yeah. So as a comic, I'm a comedy snob on that. I'm like, really? That's why the left wing thing I can chuckle about. You know, it's a different level of humor. You know, the small bread, it's just so easy. It's something somebody who would create a meme and post a meme would do. No offense, but but I would know. But you've never heard. I mean, I've certainly skewered politicians and public people. You know, I guess the one thing I did with Kim, I've talked about Kim's ass. Kim Kardashian's ass, which I will say is different in my act, which I will say is different because she markets her ass. I mean,
right.
she openly markets her ass. Hillary Clinton's not marketing her fat thighs, if that's what the thing was. So I've said about Kim's ass that for my money, Bruce Jenner's face is smoother than her ass. So that's a shot at all the public plastic surgery, which I think plastic surgery is fair game because you're altering yourself. And I would say she has so much oil. I've said she has so much oil in her ass. The Republicans want to stick a pipeline in it. So I haven't really gone the easy fat way, which I would think with Kim you could because she markets her ass.
But the whole thing, it's like the lowest common denominator. It's not. I'm not doing a set in my act with a chicken bucket where I'm like.
Yeah, but you're a comic and people look to you for comedic things. Civilians, I'm saying that very loosely,
yeah.
Non-comedy fans, you know, they've seen your act. They obviously think you're funny because of your Facebook friend and whatnot, and they want to communicate with you. They like what you've seen. So then, and you don't really have stuff like that in your act. Where you attack people's appearance. That's not really part of your
but
act.
It just wasn't the way it just.
I know. You didn't mean it that way. I know you didn't mean it that way.
You know, it's a funny joke. People, like the guy I was debating with, he goes, well, this is my daughter.
But you get his point?
Because his point is that he has this whole agenda that he's trying
to
grandstand his daughter over.
Well, he does
and
have.
It wasn't meant to be.
Here's
that.
His agenda, and here's something I don't like. And this would to every you can make fun of everything until it affects me, and that's what he was doing. I happen to agree with what he was saying, but you could have done something else, and he would have let which would have been equally offensive to somebody else, and he would have been okay with it.
Right. So basically, we're in this atmosphere lately that everybody has got to be offended about something.
Listen,
and it just wasn't meant in that
my,
way.
My disappointment again is comedically. I expect better from you because I know what you're capable of. I know you don't usually go that way with your act or when you're interacting with audience where you go for the lowest common denominator that some rube who's been drinking would do. And that's what that meme was.
Right. But here's my thinking on that. It was a funny meme that made me laugh. I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan.
Really?
And I'm like, you know what?
I saw what you posted afterwards. That's very clear.
Right. Okay. But it's funny. I'm not sitting there going, this has to have integrity as me as a comic. I posted it because I think it's funny.
I'm not saying you different agenda.
But here, think, okay. Now, if there, and I've been learning this, you know, through the year or so, if there is something about the riot, about this, or a meme about the riot, or something about the guns, God, and greatness, and stuff like that, if I go post that, I have to go through a thought process on ways, if I get called out, how I defend it and how I have.
That's called when we start shooting for the production company.
But, right. But there's a whole different mindset on it. If it's going to be, you know, for something like that, it's funny. I thought it was funny. Here's
what I'll say on this. Do I think it's offensive? No. Do I understand why that person was offended? Yes. Do I think he's one of these guys that you can make offensive jokes about everything except that the issue that touches me? Yes. Do I think comedically you should do that? You should put that there? No. Comedically, I would say no, because it gives light to subpar comedy. As a professional comedian, I don't like that.
I would have an easier time sitting and listening to it if you called me about the Bruce Jenner.
Which do you think is worse, Pip?
Well, you know what? I think that the which one is more offensive, the Bruce Jenner Fruity Pebbles one or the KFC?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I think that I wasn't looking at it and which one is more offensive. I mean, on what of the Bruce Jenner one, my first gut reaction was, "Oh, I see what they did there, ha ha." And then I felt a little bad,
yes.
You know, I don't know if I should be laughing at that, because in my heart of hearts, I do have a lot of sympathy for people who are in that situation.
Right.
But my gut reaction when I saw the KFC bucket was the same exact breakdown as Davin just described, as a whole bunch of left wings. I was like, oh, that's clever. And then when they went for the, you know, small boobs, fat thighs, I'm like, that is so picking the lowest fruit. It's just what I've been saying. I think I said it the last two shows. Women are fat. Let's pick on their bodies.
what does
it have to do with their politics?
You know who that meme addresses? I'm going to bring this home for Joe. You know who that meme, that bucket, who laughs at that particular type of humor? Remember when we used to do the shows with the video, whether it be here or at the compound?
Yeah.
And people would attack Pip on her appearance?
Right.
That's who laughs at that shit. Because that's all they got. Because they got nothing else, and they think they're so clever. That's what it is for me.
For me, it wasn't a...
I don't think you had a whole thought process in this.
Because I hope you didn't. If I personally thought it was demeaning to women, I wouldn't post it, because I'm not misogynistic. I wouldn't have posted it.
But it was demeaning to her. It was demeaning to her and had nothing to do...
Demeaning to who is her? Describe her.
I was talking about Hillary. The bucket was demeaning to Hillary and has no bearing on the context of her as a human being or what she would be as a presidential candidate or a president. It's just it's attacking her appearance. What do you think of the people that call Chris Christie fat? Is that groundbreaking? We get it. He's a fat man.
I understand, but my whole thing about that is...
Answer the question. Do you think those are funny?
Yes.
You really do?
Yeah.
All right, then that's fine. That's the line for you. That's fine.
And like I said, basically, Hillary Clinton is just such a phony person.
To you?
To me. Okay?
Well, here's the thing. Here's what needs to be pointed out. We are both very consistent, you and I, on our views on this. I am not amused by anybody being attacked on their appearance, whether it be Chris Christie, who's a Republican, or a Hillary Clinton, who's a Democrat. You say, you know what, the fat jokes are fine for Chris Christie and the thighs and boob jokes. So if you're going to be consistent in that, I can't really attack you. It's not my taste.
Right.
But at least you're consistent.
Right. And I find it... I'm sorry, Pip. Did I cut you off, sweetie?
No. I was just agreeing with what Davin was saying to you.
Right. And I also find it fascinating that on that, you put your opinion on me on that, but on the Bruce Jenner thing, where
I just see it as different.
And it's just weird because
I think it's a more clever joke.
I think it's a more demeaning joke.
By the way, I did not repost any of those memes. What I think is personally funny, I'm not gonna. Well, you know, I could see myself doing the Bruce Jenner joke in my act potentially. Not that I would, but I could never see myself.
I feel that's more demeaning. And like I said, if you called me on the carpet, I would have to think about that.
I think it's less, because it's just such a juxtaposition with Bruce. Because in the 70s, he was the epitome of manlyhood. He was called the best athlete in the world as a man, best male athlete in the world, and now you have him going through his change and everything. So it's just a juxtaposition. Just, Hillary, there's no juxtaposition
but
with Hillary.
The thing about with Hillary is she's a person that just generates so much hatred, you know,
from certain elements of the population,
but,
for sure.
But from a huge population. But
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about joke worthy.
But still, a huge population, because she has a whole lot of, which we're not going to discuss, but there's a lot of issues where she...
Listen. None of these candidates are thrilling.
Hear me out, please. There's a whole lot of issues where that you can really hate her on her policies and all these other stuff. Now,
Other people love her.
I understand that. But look at my side on that. Bruce Jenner hasn't bothered anybody. She hasn't done anything to, you know.
Bruce Jenner, you would think, is not a change in his life. But you know what? Yeah, I was going to say he's not as polarizing, but I'm going to take that back. Because unfortunately, to some people, and I am not of that mind, but to some people, what Bruce Jenner is doing is more polarizing and worse than whatever you think of Hillary Clinton's politics, because it's an abomination of God and this, that, the other thing.
But it would
not
be
to me.
Not to me, but a smaller group of people.
I don't know if it's a smaller group. We saw how much money they raised for that Indiana pizza that wouldn't serve, you know, gay people. What, those people of that same mind are the, I'm sure they hate what Bruce Jenner's doing as well.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
It's all the way, you know, it's interesting. It's the way, you know, I looked at it, the way Pip looked at it, the way you looked at it, both memes, and the way the fellow that I had this debate
for three days
and cost me not getting to the fucking bank to cash my check. But
Don't worry. 75 cents ain't going to go bad. You'll be fine. You know, like
it was a show check.
Like I said, yeah, 50 cents. I apologize.
I'll be deducting a 25 cents next week.
Like I said, I agree with what he said. I agree with his mission. But I also think, because I've experienced this too, they probably laughed at a bunch of other offensive shit that you said or posted or whatnot,
right,
and was fine with it. And then, oh no, you can't do this because it affects me and I have a problem with those.
Right.
I'm consistent.
Now, it also ties into what we brought up earlier in the day, a cause and the way you go about it.
Well, I thought he went about it fine. And then, you know, on your page, you got a certain element of your friends or fans or people you don't know that happen to be your Facebook friends
are
just vicious and always take it to the lowest level.
I thought and I wrote and I rewrote and I edited and stuff like that to make
it cause you more grief than you need.
And then for Dennis to go, call me Chubsy Ubsy. I'm like, Dennis, what the fuck? And the funny thing about it is, like, between going back and forth with him, and then seeing all the writings on the right and the comments I made, comments you made, how I was, you know, generalizing everything and blah, blah, blah. I'm driving and I'm very, like agitated. Not agitated, but...
Social media is very frustrating.
Frustrating is the word.
I dislike people for brief moments over things that they post. Sometimes it's you. That I find so hateful and so repugnant. I'm like, how can I be friends with this person? And this is stuff we never knew about, because in polite conversation you did not discuss religion and politics because it's so divisive. But now, because it's social media, we all have a damn soapbox.
And the funny thing is, it gets frustrating. You have to talk. It gets emotional.
Well, you saw it. You know, your pals over at our friends, the Joseph Cumia show, they were trying to suck me into that. You know, where Joe Cumia said, and I have agenda. I just said, you know what? You're going to see what you want to say, because I don't want to get sucked into it.
I didn't, and a matter of fact, I didn't get a chance to comment because I saw it just as I left for work. So I just saw it. I just saw the overview on it. I might comment, you know, when I get a chance to sit down again.
If you actually read what I write, there's no agenda, because I talk about good cops and bad cops and the responsibility they have and what we have as citizens and everything. But if you want to find an agenda and you want to fight, social media certainly allows that.
Oh yeah.
I just need to stop engaging in it, which is why I did not, because I saw the Hillary Clinton thing and I'm like, no.
I took a break for about 3 weeks because I'm like, I got no time for this shit.
I got to tell you.
When I posted that meme and that guy wrote, I don't have time for that. But I had a response.
I would be thrilled.
Thoughts, you know?
I would be thrilled if you never posted another meme again. I don't have problems when you give your opinions or whether I agree or disagree. But at least I know, and a lot of times I vehemently disagree with you. But at least I know, okay, he put thought to this. This is what he thinks. Whether he thinks this all the time and he thought it out or in the moment, at least this is what he thinks at this moment. I hate when people post memes. It's just like, ugh, you can't form your own opinion. Really? Yuck. That's just
me. Sometimes they hit the nail on the head so perfectly.
I know, but I expect more from Joe. A regular civilian, I get it. They might not be creative comedically, but I know,
right,
Joe is creative comedically. You know? So I expect more from my fellow comics.
I understand that. But if I'm just hitting, you know, if I'm just hitting post for a fun thing that makes
me
laugh.
Why you do it. You know? I get why you do it. You're easily amused.
Now, let's expand on that further.
I wanted to take a break.
Ari Shaffir. Here's the thing with Ari Shaffir, where I defended Ari Shaffir. If he stuck to his guns and if he got called out, he would sit there and go, yeah, I posted it and I stand behind it. And with that meme, with what I got called out on, I stood there and I stand behind it. You know, and you got to let.
Well, I don't know if that makes one any better if they stand behind something. That's, you know what? Hitler would swear up and down that the Jews were terrible. That doesn't make him better.
But if you stand behind what you did.
Yeah, but Pat Robertson will tell you swear up and down that the homosexuals bring natural disasters. It doesn't make him less repugnant.
I know it doesn't make him less repugnant, but at least if you're going to have your view, you stand behind your view, and you'll be able you. Stand there and you'll
so you can be
it,
a moron, but you stand behind your moronness, if that's a word.
But if you
that gives you more respect.
Let's look at it in a comedic way. If you plan to choose to say something, you stand behind it, and if you get called on it, you have the conviction to defend what you said.
Well, hopefully, I'm not being a moron about what I'm saying.
No, but like I said, if you called me out on the Bruce Jenner thing with the Fruity Pebbles thing,
but
you
Joe,
know what?
You're
you
thinking.
Got me.
I'm gonna leave it at this. But Joe, what you're thinking. Does not allow for evolution of thought, and people do change on thought and everything. So you're giving more credence to somebody who doubled down, who might be completely repugnant, like a Pat Robertson, who blames the homosexuals for disasters and whatnot. And because he keeps doubling down, you respect that more than if he were to go, you know what, I was talking to God the other day. Turns out it's not the gays, it's the Puerto Ricans. And we'll be back in a few minutes. You are listening to Davin's Den.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, ruthlessradio.fm, talksuperstation.com, cyannetradio.com, Gone Rogue Radio, hawkradio.net. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. On iHeartRadio, you will find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.